sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Before I start today's episode, I just want to welcome this new year of Shut Up Podcast, new edition, excuse me, New Testament, with a shot of Hennessy. Hold on a second. Ah, got there. Does Hennessy expire? Damn. C'est chaud car. Woohoo! I'm not sure if I'm gonna keep that. Damn. 3 seconds to sip it and 1 minute to suffer. I ain't got it like I used to. Yo, Happy New Year, folks. Happy New Year. All right, okay, let's do this. Episode 137. To all the teachers that told me I'd never amount to nothing. This podcast is dedicated to all the teachers who told me I'd never amount to nothing. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. We're making some changes, guys. Before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. Excuse me. Oh, yeah. Happy Independence Day. Happy belated Independence Day to my fellow Haitians. On this podcast, I represent and hold it down for black folks that never felt like they fitted in. Like they fit in. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Now, today's date is January 7, 2024, 9:46 p.m., and this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. One last thing, this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Woo! Yeah. Okay. Did that intro feel a little long? Did it feel a little longer than usual? I mean, I guess I'm, who's my target audience? New listeners or returning listeners? If it felt long, it's because I made some changes, some last minute changes to the intro that, as you're, for those of you who are used to me, you will know that I just keep on improving it until it sounds right. But I'll get to that, to those changes later in the episode, in the second act. But just to, like I usually do, just to help situate you new listeners, welcome. Especially if you clicked on this podcast by mistake, high five, and you're still listening with curiosity going, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this black guy going to talk about? And you know, if I were to summarize, yeah, this podcast is about nothing. I mean, it's about something, but it's about nothing at the same time. Like, it's about my experience as a human being on this life, but in the grand scheme of things, I'm just like another drop of sand, another drop in the ocean. You know what I mean? Anyways, so for the introduction, I like to do shit like, oh, sorry. Before I continue with the introduction, again, I like to break down my episodes into three parts or I call them acts, if you will. The first act is the introduction. Second act is using random thoughts. And last act is final thoughts, which usually relates to the title. In the first act, the introduction, I like to do shit like, oh, wow, okay, so check this out. So there is, usually I share some history. I share some history with you, like dates worth remembering. And I noticed that I didn't make any lists for this episode. Not the end of the world. But what I will bring up.
You cannot talk.
Oh, my God. Sorry, gang. And you know what? I probably, yeah, sorry, gang. That was, you weren't supposed to hear that. Oh, come on, it's bien ané, eh? We're starting off the year right. Yeah. What was I saying? Yeah, I like to share quotes. Sorry, history and then quotes. And today I got two quotes that I want to share. First one, as always, shout out to my man Talal Macy, who I copied this from. And it goes, love and disrespect should never occupy the same space. This was posted 5 days ago. 5 days ago. We're the 6th. So, yeah, I must have. Okay, I copied it. I thought I copied it before the end of the year. But, yeah, whatever. Okay. Love and disrespect should never occupy the same space. This is a big one because it's a conversation I've had with my dad. Actually, with family members, but I initiated it with my dad. And essentially I asked him, why do we hurt those we love when it comes to family members? And I guess in my family, it was a given that family members will hurt you, or you will hurt a family member, and you just, you know, rise up to the occasion and then, you know, you do the mature thing and apologize. But then I think the debate where we had a disconnect is, how much pain should you expect from a family member? How much pain should you expect to inflict on a family member, even if it's unintentional? Now, I think of like all these R&B songs, and when the R&B artist is like apologizing and for something he did, but usually it's shit like cheating, you know what I mean? But I guess my question is, how much disrespect should you tolerate from a family member? And how much disrespect should a family member expect or tolerate from you? Is it nothing? Is it just a little bit? I had a conversation with my cousin about this same thing, and she was like, she's Christian, and she believes that, well, the reason we hurt family members is because we're not a perfect being, and, you know, we created in the image of God, but we're fucked up, and we do fucked up things. But then it just opened herself up for, yeah, if I have an abusive relative, then, you know, fuck it, chalk it up to God's will or something stupid like that. It's all this to say, I appreciate this quote. Love and disrespect should never occupy the same space. When I share quotes, I like to explain why they have meaning to me. I like to explain why. In this quote hit me so much that I found, instead of waiting for using random thoughts to talk about it, I just did it in the introduction. And also, it's my goddamn podcast. All right, okay. The second quote, it's from the great poet, philosopher, Kendrick Lamar. And I'm not going to read it out. I'm going to just...
Get Johnny and love it.
God damn it. I'm going to let you hear it for yourself from his own words. Here we go.
Do you be yourself and make sure that you love being yourself. And it's going to be roadblocks. It's going to be tribulations. But always remember, this is a life experience. Accept the experience, appreciate the experience, and learn how to move on from things that don't serve you well, you know, and find your journey, respect your journey, and love it. Do you be yourself and make sure.
All right. Beautiful, huh? Yeah, if I could summarize my therapy sessions, all of them, I'd probably summarize it with that quote right there. And also, probably this is what 2024 what year are we? 2024 is going to be for me. Is all that. All that. That's my resolutions right there. I'm not, I've given up on resolution, but I'm also a sucker for new beginnings. And I think that's going to be the direction. Whatever, man. This quote touched me, man. It hit me. It hit me in the feels. All right. Okay. As you can see, I'm permitting myself with this introduction, with today's introduction. Usually I like to wrap it up in 10 minutes, but it's been a while since we chatted. So I'm trying to situate myself, process this Hennessy that I just swallowed. And also start off the year right. Yeah, I guess that's what it is, man. Again, like I said, I've been off the air you've been 2 weeks without episodes. So indulge me. All right. What else did I say? Oh, okay, yeah. So initially I was going to put this in News and Random Thought, but now I'm going to keep it to the introduction. And just, like I said, indulge me. I'm going to talk about what have I done these past few weeks? The last episode published was on, bear with me. Last episode, oh my God, was published on, just give you a second. It was titled, What is Real, Morpheus? It was the title of the episode was a quote from Morpheus in The Matrix, and it came out December 20th, 2023. All right, so 11 plus 7 days? So that's what, 18 days. 18 days, a weekend. Okay, it's less than 2 weeks. No, more than 2 weeks. 2 weeks plus change, okay. 18 days since the last episode, and something I haven't got into therapy, but you know what I did do? I journaled. And I found myself thinking, damn, this shit helps. What's interesting, the shit that I journaled see, this podcast is supposed to be my journal. But what I ended up writing were things that I'm still not comfortable sharing on a podcast. But I am going to say that it did help. And I'm hoping to make this a habit. Aside from that, I didn't do shit, folks. You know what I did during the holidays, during these past few 18 days? I was away from work. Well, not 18 days. I was away from work since the 24th. 23rd, actually. 23rd, yeah. And it comes out to 2 weeks or something like that. And I start work, not tomorrow, but the day after. Oh, shit, I forgot. In terms of dates to worth mentioning, I forgot to mention that tomorrow, January 8th, when this podcast should be available, will be available, is January 8th. And I want to say a happy birthday to King Jong-un. Now, why are you wondering? You're probably wondering, why am I wishing happy birthday to dictators? Because one, he's my favorite dictator. Why is he my favorite dictator? It's another story. But two, him and I share the same birthday. And I like to think how it's interesting how our lives went different paths. He became a dictator and I became a podcast. Yeah, man. January 8th, 2024. Fuck. Yeah, I'm not doing any big things for it because I turned 49. And I'm not really excited about the fact that starting tomorrow, I now have to tell people that I'm 49. It was tough enough telling people that I'm 48. Yeah, I'm in denial, right? I'm one of those people in their late 40s still accepting the fact that they're in their fucking 40s, all right? I'm dealing with it. I'm not fucking perfect, all right? If you came to a podcast for perfection, this is not the right one. Sorry, calm down. All right, okay. yes, tomorrow's my birthday. Shout out to me and King Jong-un. But getting back to what I did these past few days. Yeah, things I did these past few days is learn how much, and I mean how much, I enjoy sleeping in. Now, I grew up with people who, not just relatives, grew up in people who, for them, you got to do something. You can't be sleeping in. You got to be active. You got to do shit. Do something. And so it's one of those things that I've always enjoyed sleeping in. It's just I never was able to admit it to myself because I was surrounded by people who are like, yo, that's being lazy. Lazy is a sin. Lazy is bad. Oh, man. Time for self. What the fuck? You should be out there making money, fucking bitches. You know what I mean? It just anyways, 2 weeks. Sleeping in, not doing shit, watching TV, taking time to myself. Just enjoying life in my own ways, in ways that other people wouldn't approve. But there was days where I did feel guilty about the fact that I hadn't done shit, which is why the universe conspired to clog my sink. And probably the greatest accomplishment that I had this weekend, this past 2 weeks, is actually there are others. I'm being hard, but I'm for the sake of comedy, I'm going to say my greatest accomplishment since I last recorded was unclogging my sink. Now, I am still not sure what caused the clog, my bathroom sink. I'm not sure what's caused the clog. All I know when I used my plunger, there was sand that kept coming out of there. And I don't know. But the point is, I remember unclogging my sink and feeling justified for not going anywhere, for staying in and sleeping in. But yeah, man, no, that's been the subtotal. If I can summarize the past 2 weeks, is unclogged sink, journaled, and sleeping in. So this episode is probably going to be a product of these past few days. Thoughts that I had throughout the week. That I, a bit of what I journaled. But yeah, this episode is a product of these past few days combined with my desire to not go back to work. One other thing I feel the need to mention is that I did throughout 2 weeks is watched a lot of TV. Watched a lot of TV and movies. A lot of it was reruns, things that I've watched before, but whatever the fuck. And one movie that I watched was Pretty Woman, rewatched over the holidays. And and I tweeted about it. And I said that it doesn't matter what I tweeted. Okay, you know what? Hold on a second. I watched Pretty Woman, and it reminded me how when I watched that movie, the first time I watched it, I was young, probably in my teens, and I didn't understand at the time that I was watching it. Superficially. I didn't really understand, or I'm realizing that I didn't understand the concept of compatibility and relationships. So when I'm watching, so the first time I watched Pretty Woman, instead of watching it like it was some person's fantasy, fairy tale, I think I was watching it like, oh, so that's how things are. I think I want to call it the origin story to my Captain Save-A-Ho, life or journey. What's a Captain Save-A-Ho? Google it, man. My point is, I remember it reminded me of one of my relationships, one of my first few relationships. Again, I'm ignorant about the concept of, again, I'm a teen who thinks he knows it all, ignorant about concepts about compatibility. And how relationship is not just about finding someone you can, you know, who will let you stick your ooh in her ooh, you know what I mean? It's there was a lot I did not know. And that's what that movie did for me. Reminded me of the shit that I thought I knew and realized I did not know. Anyways. there's got to be a bit in there. And I used to date this chick who was like such a hood. She was like so hood rat that it made me believe that I was Richard Gere. She wasn't stupid. I'm not trying to say she was ignorant or whatever, but I'm saying she was a hood rat. And watching that movie reminded me of my innocence. That's really all I'm going to say. All right? Okay, that's it. Okay. I'm not going to get too deep with this shit. Okay, guys, that's about it, man, for the introduction. Let's jump to the second act, which is news and random thoughts, okay? And, yeah, now that's it. Let's do this. Okay, let's go. Yeah, all right. This is usually that sound you just heard is where I would put a commercial. And since I don't have commercials yet, so I play that sound instead. Okay. News. Let's start with some news and then random thoughts. Okay, first for news. Now, this one I was going to, I chose to play it here to, you know, I'm just going to play it, man. It just so I can get the details and then I'm going to talk about it. Because you've all seen, you've likely, most of you have seen, again, and links is in the show notes. You've likely seen a video of this black dude who's a court, and he leaps over the judge's desk or whatever, leaps to go beat up a judge, and you know what? I'm just gonna play this article and then let them explain it better than me. So here we go.
Defendant faces new charges after attacking a Nevada judge in court, which was caught on video.
New charges.
Las Vegas, AP, moments after a defendant in a felony battery case tried to convince a Nevada judge that he was turning his violent past around and didn't need to be locked up.
Wow.
His sentencing went sideways. He leaped over a defense table and the judge's bench, landing atop her and sparking a bloody brawl with court officials and attorneys.
Okay. So the word I was looking for is judge's bench and defense table. Okay, the defense table is his table and the judge's bench. You got to see the video. If you haven't seen it, yeah, it'll make more sense if you watch the video. Here we go.
The violent scene on Wednesday was captured by courtroom video showing Clark County District Court Judge Mary Kay Holthus falling back from her seat against the wall as the defendant flung himself over. Mm-mm. The judge's bench and grabbed her hair, toppling an American flag onto them. The judge suffered some injuries but was not hospitalized, courthouse officials said.
Yeah, she's tough.
The defendant, Deobra Delone Redden, was jailed on $54,000 bail and refused to return to court on Thursday on new charges, so a judge rescheduled his next appearance for January 9th.
Wow.
Redden, 30, faces 13 counts including extortion and coercion with force.
Oh, wow.
Seven of the new counts are battery on a protected person, referring to the judge and officers who came to her aid. Redden had to be wrestled off the judge Wednesday by several court and jail officers and courtroom staff members, including some who were seen throwing punches. One courtroom marshal was hospitalized for treatment of a bleeding gash on his forehead and a dislocated shoulder.
Ah, poor guy.
Read more state tax cutting trend.
Okay, let me go to...
It happened so fast it was hard to know what to do, said Richard Scow, the chief county district attorney, who was prosecuting Redden for allegedly attacking a person with a baseball bat last year.
Oh.
Redden's sentencing was not immediately rescheduled. Clark County District Attorney Steve Wolfson said the suspect's criminal record is marked by mostly violent offenses and includes prior convictions for 3 felonies and 9 misdemeanors.
Mm.
He said Redden should be held without bail as an extreme danger to the community and a flight risk. He's been violent his entire adult life, Wolfson said. Redden's defense attorney on Wednesday, Cesar Almes, declined to comment Thursday. At the sentencing hearing, Redden wasn't shackled or in jail garb because he had been released from custody as part of a deal with prosecutors, in which he pleaded guilty in November to a reduced charge of attempted battery resulting in substantial injuries. He was initially charged in the baseball bat attack with assault with a deadly weapon, court records show. On Wednesday, he wore a white shirt and dark pants as he stood next to his attorney and asked the judge for leniency while describing himself as the person who never stops trying to do the right thing no matter how hard it is.
Oh, man.
I'm not a rebellious person, he told the judge, later adding that he doesn't think he should be sent to prison. But if it's appropriate for you, then you have to do what you have to do. As the judge made it clear she intended to put him behind bars, and the court marshal moved to handcuff him and take him into custody. Redden yelled expletives and charged forward amid screams from people who had been sitting with him in the courtroom audience, including his foster mother. Records show Redden, who lives in Las Vegas, was evaluated and found competent to stand trial in the battery case before pleading guilty to the reduced charge. He previously served prison time in Nevada on a domestic battery conviction, records show. Holthus was a career prosecutor with more than 27 years of courthouse experience when she was elected to the state court bench in 2018.
Damn. Okay. That's fucked up. Nevada judge is back to work a day after being attacked by the defendant who jumped atop of her. Okay. Wow, what a story. And he was wearing a Biggie sweater. Damn, man. I was fine with that. As I'm listening to the article, I was wondering what it's like to hang out with someone like that, being within the small circle, being in, like, did he just snap, or was it, I don't know. Yeah, I guess someone who's in social service would probably be able to better explain what the fuck, like, where do people like that? Well, I don't know, man. There's so much. This is one of those situations where I'm having difficulty seeing the world through his eyes because I'm still caught up in. Yeah. Anyways, I thought I was violent. I'm kidding. I'm not violent, but I'm just saying I thought me reciting rap lyrics made me violent. But damn, the judge. This motherfucker hit a judge. Holy shit. Anyways, yeah. Fucked up. If I manage to find, there's a clip out there, a parody of what just happened, and that shit's funny. Fucking the internet. Undefeated. All right. Okay. Well, now you know. Because I didn't know. I just remember seeing the video with no context and joking about and thinking about that one of the songs by Schoolie D. He's got a track called Super Nigger. It's a crow. It's a bat. No, it's Super Negro. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I can think about. Okay. All right, Liz Abby. Okay, let's move on. All right, just news. Just another reminder. Apparently, the MAGA folks are making a big deal out of January 6th, the 3rd anniversary of January 6th. And I ain't got nothing insightful to say except to... Soon turning 49, right? And I'm still grappling with the fact that reason is optional. In a sense that just because I agree and understand why 2 + 2 = 4 doesn't mean you have to. What I mean by that is it kills me how January 6th, 3 cops were murdered. And the MAGA folks, it's okay, I'm saying it kills me. But I'm saying, it's elementary, Watson. Despite the fact that it should be something simple to understand as they see it their way, I see it my way, or just different perspective. It kills me that the MAGA folks are still like, Ashley Babbitt is the victim. She was, she's that crazy chick who ran into, who tried to like, get in the Capitol and got shot. And I'm sure she was warned plenty of time. Hey, don't do it, lady. Don't fucking do it. Don't do it. Putting that officer in a position where he had to put a bullet in her. Anyway, it kills me how she's clearly in the wrong for what she did. Whatever. Her death is tragic. Okay, I'll give you that, bag of folks. Fine. Her death was tragic. But the idiot brought it onto herself. I mean, death is tragic. That's what I'm trying to say. But it's the fact that, I guess that's what it is, man. You know what? Okay, this is me having difficulty accepting that for every terrorist, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. To them, this idiot is their freedom fighter. Sorry, my timeline has been filled with R.I.P. Ashley Babbitt. Babbitt. R.I.P. like... Babbitt quote, and treating her like she's like, they're treating her like, I guess the way Osama bin Laden treated those hijackers. How many hijackers were there? It doesn't matter. Those 9/11 hijackers. To them, she's a hero. or she's a victim. It's just, it's driving me nuts. It's just driving me nuts, man. By the way, yeah, January 6th was yesterday. That's all you needed to know. I guess I should also probably take the, for just to keep it positive, I should probably wish a happy anniversary to the black guy who tips. I keep forgetting, but apparently January 6th was, is their podcast anniversary date. And I'm not sure if I still have it, but I remember downloading their first episode just so I could compare it with now. And yeah, their first episode is nothing like what they have now. But, you know, but then again, they're in the 3,000 range on. So, you know, growth, fucking growth. That's all I can say. But happy anniversary to the black guy who tips. And yeah, leave it at that. What else was in the news? I'm sure everyone is, I know everyone's talking about it. And another thing that's been cluttering my timeline is motherfucking Cat Williams. So apparently Cat Williams did an interview on Shannon Sharp's podcast. I think it's called Club Shay Shay. And on there, homie pretty much did the same, no, did something similar to what Kendrick did when he dropped that Control verse. Except Cat Williams was pretty much disrespected a whole bunch of, or shot out, or what's the word they've been using? Chopper. He sprayed. He shot. He went after a whole bunch of comics he came up with, like Steve Harvey. Hold on. Do I have another link to, let me see. Do I have a link to the actual details? No, that's not it. Did I really not? Doesn't matter. Okay, but my point is, Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, he might have, but he went after a lot of people. Holy shit, he went after Jonathan Major, called them ugly for having a big African nose. But Cat Williams just went after a whole bunch of comics and causing a whole bunch of people to reply to him. Yeah, man, fuck you, nigga. You ain't shoot, whatever. This, that. But Cat Williams has always been a messy guy. It's just, you know, he reminds me of Hitler. Homie took over Poland. And we're all like, ah, man, Cat Williams was just tripping. You know, hold on a second. I'm going to do something different on this podcast. I have this, I'm going to crack open the, I don't usually drink, but, you know, in a few hours, it's going to be my birthday, so j'en profite. I was just a little thirsty. I was drinking a certain alcoholic beverage that I won't share the title with because they don't pay me to do so. All right, okay. Oh, well, yeah, I did promote Hennessy, but that's another story because that's what black people do. All right, yeah. So Cat Williams, Shannon Sharp, and he was very mean. He said a lot of shit to about a lot of comics. Let me see if I can get the actual. Okay, the point that I'm getting at is how it reminded me of when Kendrick dropped that Control verse and all these rappers felt the need to write a response back to him. But granted, he did make some serious accusations. Like, he accused Cedric Entertainer of stealing one of his jokes. And so that's a fucked up accusation. And yeah, a lot of people are like, yo, he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. Oh, now, here's the clip that I want to share with you is Shannon Sharp's response to everyone who was upset at him for not, what's this word, for not challenging what Cat Williams said on his show, right? So here we go. Break it down, Uncle.
While all you guys said, well, Shannon, you needed a follow-up question with what? I said, I didn't ask no follow-up question when Sid said he didn't steal the joke.
Right.
That's not for me to decide. You decide. Mm-hmm. You decide who do you agree with. Mm-hmm. That's not my decision to make. That was it. I never said I was a journalist. Mm-hmm. I never professed to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. I'm an entertainer. If you want hard-hitting questions,
yeah,
60 Minutes is the platform from you.
Right.
Dateline, 48 hours. Go to Lester Holt. Go to somebody that does that. Why all you...
Okay, I'm laughing because... What Shannon Sharp did, I guess, I love podcasts, all right? Because podcasts is this new world. Okay, what Shannon Sharp is pretty much saying, hey, fuck you, I'm not a role model. I'm kidding. I'm not a journalist. And, which is true. And yeah, Shannon Sharp pretty much listened to let Cat Williams speak the same way I would let him speak at a barbershop or on this podcast. Whatever the fuck. What? You believe Earth is flat? Then fuck it. I guess it's flat. You believe Earth is flat? All right, then fuck it. Keep it moving. What I'm saying is, okay, I didn't listen to the whole episode of Cat Williams with Shannon Sharp on Club Shay Shay. Shit is like 2 hours and 40 minutes long or something like that. But the parts that I did listen to, it reminded me of having a casual conversation with some random dude, okay, a professional dude, and letting them talk, letting them say whatever the fuck they want to say. And no, and not doing journalistic shit like, hey, whoa. You just said 2 + 2, 2 + 3 = 16. That's not right. Nah, fuck it. It's their show. It's their reality. It's what do you think this podcast is for me? Like, don't get me wrong. It's not my intention. Maybe I should mention that it's not my intention to mislead or to bullshit you. This is not what this podcast is about. And at least I'd like to believe that I'm not the bullshitting type. If I am, call me on it. Like everything that I say, it's real. It's shit that I'm not able to say. It's funny. It's not that I want my words challenged. Yeah, that's what it is. It's being able to speak unchallenged. But you're right. I don't know. I'm gonna stick to. I think I'm gonna agree with Shannon in that. Look, I'm not a journalist. This wasn't a journal. This is entertainment. I let this nigga talk, say what the fuck he wanted to say, and look at all the attention that I got. Now, what's messed up is a lot of people who heard Cat Williams aren't challenging him. A lot of people are just taking it as, oh, it's the truth. You know? Because he said shit like Illuminati. People want, you know, some folks want to believe that shit. It's, yeah, man. It's funny. Not bad for a guy who didn't think he had anything to say about the Shannon Sharp interview. But, I'm fascinated at how it's a huge topic of conversation on the internets. Well, on the black, you know, on black Twitter. Yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that, man. Yeah, okay. All right, last bit of news before I get into thoughts is okay. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but over the holiday on the 31st, Chappelle released released another special. I won't lie, man. When I saw that, I got excited because Chappelle is known for, it's his brand. While wondering, I'm like, oh, here's hoping he lets go of the whole trans stuff. Here's hoping. But nope, he did it. He still did it. And I'm going to summarize because I've been keeping this to myself, right? But Chappelle's latest special, even though I was excited when I saw his name, Netflix was like, hey, Chappelle has a new special. I was excited. But after hearing it, it became a special not worth celebrating. What I mean by that, I'm trying to say that, yes, no, I did laugh. There was times that I did laugh. There was times where I cringed. There was times where I was like, God damn it. It's like, we get it. I get it, Chappelle. You don't understand this trans stuff. All right. And I get it. At this point, it's no longer funny. It's just, you're not trying to be funny at this point. At this point, you're just obsessed at this notion that you want the world to understand that you don't understand what's going on in the mind of a trans person, or you think it's weird, and you... I get it, you're being yourself. I think this, honestly, I think he's being sincere. But it doesn't stop us to react to what he's saying, or at least I'm in the category who was like, God damn, let it go, bro. We get it. Unless you can think of a new joke, unless you can make me laugh, right now, all your jokes about trans people are not insightful. They're just, it's a broken record. It's like fucking hearing a knock-knock joke for the, you know, again, I was like, Jesus Christ. It's, I get it. We heard it. All right. Yeah. pull my finger. All right. Okay. I know you're going to fart after. Going back to what I'm saying, his album is not something worth celebrating. And what I mean by that, I notice that when I consume new content and I enjoy it. And when I say celebrate, I mean I'm talking to people about it. I'm like, yo, you should. I'm telling people to listen to it. This particular one, I remember I was on the Three Guys On podcast, and someone brought up, hey, anyone listen to the show? And I didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want to be like, yeah, I did, because I didn't want to talk about how I felt about it. Maybe that this is where we're at right now. Certain art that you can't ignore, but you just don't celebrate, I guess. Is that what, I don't know how to explain it. It's just not worth celebrating. Let me put it this way. The hype when I saw his name and that it was being released doesn't match the, okay, now that I listen to it, it's, okay, I'm not going to go on the internet and tell people that it's a bad bad special, you shouldn't listen to it. I'm not going to do anything like that. I just rather not talk about it. and simply say that out of all his work, as in opposition to Killing Me Softly, which was an album worth celebrating, bragging about, talking about, telling your friends about, wondering if they listened to it, this wasn't it. This was like, nah, I won't compare it to Nostradamus. But it's just, I guess I wasn't impressed. That's the real, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to tell you, you should agree with me. I'm saying for myself. Yeah, I'm not joining the, all right, Chappelle is the greatest. And another thing this the album, the special did for me is, confirm that I am never, unless he changes his tune, I am not going to a Dave Chappelle concert. I've seen him once in San Francisco, and really happy that I did. But now, yeah, man, and less because of Chappelle. Actually, I've seen Chappelle perform twice, but that's another story. Less because of Chappelle, but more for the kind of people, the Joe Rogan types, that are going to be at his shows. It's just, whatever, man. I don't think Chappelle's going to give a fuck about, you know, I don't know, what's his net worth now? There's nothing I'm going to do that's going to affect his net worth. But I'm just saying, yeah, man, I don't know. You get probably the same respect. I don't know. Yeah. Look, I'm just going to leave it as not an album worth celebrating. I'm not sure how I feel about Dave. And I'm not attending one of his shows. All right, okay, that's it. Okay, that's it. So, yeah, Dave's next week special. End period, stop. That's the news. Yeah, Chappelle came out with another special. I'm not going to tell you to listen to it. I'm not going to tell you not to listen to it. End it. I'm going to leave it at that. All right, thoughts. Okay. A thought that came to me recently, not too long ago, was how in the intro, if you notice that I added the part, black folks, I represent and hold it down for black folks who never felt like they fitted in. And I remember growing up as a black nerd and, yeah, believing I was the only black nerd out there. Then I get on the internet and notice that there's a whole bunch of other black nerds out there. Where I'm going with this. Yeah, I'm saying as much as I grew up as the pro-black type, all about community and all that shit, I've always felt like an outsider. And this is not meant to be like a poor me or whatever. It's more of a realization / acceptance, because I'm realizing that I'm not the only one. Now that I've realized or acknowledged the fact that I've always felt like an outsider, how do I move forward from there? And part of it is acknowledging it. Part of it is finding other people who felt like outsiders and creating a tribe out of it. This thought came to me when I realized that I was depending on the Dr. Umar Johnsons of the world to define blackness. Kind of the same way I used to look up to toxic men, I allow toxic men to define masculinity, is the same way I'm realizing that I allowed the Umar Johnsons, the Tariq Nasheeds of the world, to define blackness for me. Knowing that my blackness, my experience as a black person is somewhat, as although it's similar to them, has a lot of uniqueness, especially the fact about being born in Canada. Part of my blackness has always, because I grew up with white people, right? Part of my blackness also includes being around black people. And as much as I'm happy to be amongst my own quote-unquote people, there was always an element that still felt like an outsider. Maybe that's just my uniqueness. This is maybe the part of me that makes me feel, it's just who I am. Maybe I'm a lone wolf type. This is not to say that they were mean or bad people or whatever, but it never felt fully like my tribe. Does that make sense? It's a complicated thought. All this to say that it made me realize that I needed to, in my intro, when I talk about, first I say protected by the red, the black, and the green, my way of saying that it's a black podcast. But then I add that even though that I'm a black person, yeah, I specify that I'm a black Canadian. And now I'm making more of an emphasis on the fact that when I say I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and so on, that was my way of saying that as a black person, I'm a black person, but I'm an outsider. And now I'm going to put more emphasis on the fact that I feel like an outsider. It's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not a good or a bad thing. It's just, yo, Chappelle could talk to you about that. A lot of people grew up feeling like, especially if you're an introvert, I guess, maybe that's an introvert thing, you tend to feel like you live in your own world. And again, it's not meant to be a bad, good thing. It's just, it's a thing worth acknowledging. All this to say, there's going to be a lot more emphasis. No, it's not more emphasis on the podcast, but it's more realizing the kind of tribe I'm trying to create. And I think I'm going to, one of the catchphrases, if you're a black person who feels like an outsider, this podcast is for you. Even though there's a chance that I might say shit you may not agree with, that you may not be down with, or you might just find weird. But yeah, leave it at that. Okay, so that's it, man. Redefine black, because it can't, redefine black so it can't be mimicked. Something, 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 I forget, yeah. Okay, next item on the list is did the Shannon Sharp thing.
So apparently word got to Bishop T.D. Jakes about what was said about him. And this is a part of how he responded.
When you know the truth.
Okay, I'm going to rewind that. Okay. So I'm going to, I have a joke about, because I heard about the Epstein list came out. And I think I'm going to have a joke about how my pastor's on Epstein. I think my, damn, I'm bummed out because my pastor showed up on Epstein's list. And what inspired that joke slash thought was this quote from my man, Donnell Wrights. I say my man, Donnell Wrights. I don't know him personally, but I consume a lot of his content. Anyways, and I just like what he says about T.D. Jakes in this particular title. Here we go, in this particular video.
So apparently word got to Bishop T.D. Jakes about what was said about him. And this is a part of how he responded.
When you know the truth, you ain't got to be nervous. You ain't got to be uneasy. You ain't got to be in trouble. Come on, come on, come on. The worst that could happen, if everything was true, all I got to do is repent sincerely from my heart. There's enough power in the blood to cover all kinds of sins. I don't care what it is, the blood would fix it. But I ain't got to repent about this. All I got to do is step over top of it and keep on going on. Glory to God, I'm not in trouble. I'm talking about the power of the blood, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I have used it and I will use it again, but I ain't got to use it for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever I needed, It's available to me, and it's available to you, and you can have it when you need it, but you don't have to plead the blood when you didn't do the crime.
It bothers me for Bishop to insinuate that even if he did do it, all he would have to do was repent.
Right.
One of the most recognizable preachers in America just went on the public stage and made it known basically that there's nothing he can't get away with. Right. I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way to hear that. I feel like there are probably several reasons why it bugs me to hear a powerful man, a wealthy man like that, say that even if he did do something wrong, all he would have to do is repent. Because it brings to mind theological questions about, are we good because we're people of integrity, or are we good because we know how to say the right prayer? Mm. And who are we accountable to other than God if we commit sins that harm our community? Who are we accountable to if all we have to do is repent? If all we got to do is talk to God, have a little talk with Jesus, and stop worrying about it? I don't know. That felt very flippant, ominous in a way. And it makes me think about the flippant ways with which the black churches engage issues of this severity. Feel free to leave your thoughts in the comments, and as always, like and follow for more content.
Right on, Brother Darnell. It reminds me of that quote that I shared with you. That's not on my first page, of course not. It's, hold on a second. What did I say? It goes, love and disrespect should never occupy the same space. So when I joked about my pastors is on Epstein's list, what I'm really getting at is it reminded me of that quote that I just shared, and growing up in a Christian family. It's not just the fact that they were Christian. It's more in a Christian environment where toxic Christians would use Christianity as a way to hide, justify the fact that they were toxic people. So they had that mindset that I can't do anything wrong. And if I do, worst case scenario, God will forgive me. There's nothing I can't do that will be unforgivable. I had a situation, again, with family where someone did something and it bothered me. And it's only later that I realized that, nah, I can't stand for that. It's fucked up. They snitched. No, I'm kidding. It's not snitching, but they just did something that I felt was intolerable. And now I'm surrounded by relatives telling me that, you should let it go. You should let it go. Like, okay, I'll give you a better example. I have a relative who used to beat his wife. And I remember how we all treated the situation like, he'll correct himself at some point. Like, we ignored it. Like, I wasn't involved because I was a kid at the time, but my parents, I'm imagining the only support they showed his wife, the victim was, pray on it, let's go to church, now you can't get divorced, divorce is bad. She ended up divorcing him in the end. But I'm saying how beating, domestic violence was not considered something outside the realm that deserved forgiveness. I'm saying this bad. I'm not being accurate in my words. I'm saying, sure he deserves forgiveness, but accountability. It's like these people, and it's not just unique to my family. I'm just talking like in the Christian environment, you have toxic people who use Christianity to justify their bad behaviors or to excuse their bad behaviors. And it gets to a point that it gets difficult. I guess if you don't think for yourself, you'll allow other people to tell you that, just let it go. It's not that bad. It's no big deal. Just walk it off. Now, I'm grateful, or I'm sharing, maybe it's a blessing that I didn't grow up in an environment where, at least that I know of people being molested. Right, having a relative who was a molester. As far as I know, I'm not aware of that. As far as I know, I don't have any relatives who are molesters, but whatever. I don't know the full story. But I do know people who grew up with family members who were molesters and how they just excused it. They just did shit like, okay, let's just make sure the kids aren't around that guy. That's the thing. You know, it was the family secret that you just, it was outside. You didn't talk about it, but it was just, I don't know. I guess, no, it's not that I don't know. It's more, okay, hold on. Let me think about what I'm trying to say here. I'm saying if you grew up in a Christian environment, and in that environment, there's some toxic people, especially the narcissist type, you will grow up having difficulty figuring out your own. It might be a challenge for you to grow up and defining your own right and wrong. And that's what I'm really trying to get at. Because before, there was no wrong. Anything goes. If something bad, like if I was a victim of molestation, they would have just chucked it off as, it's God's will, walk it off. Yeah, I forgive you, uncle, but you got to grow up through that. I wouldn't have been surrounded or given the tools that I need to heal. It's things that I would have had to figure to pick up on my own. I have a relative who committed suicide, and I'm wondering if, who knows, maybe they were molested. And they just, you know, and they're surrounded by people telling them, yeah, get over it. Or it was God's will. Basically, they weren't given what they needed to heal. All this to say, as much as I was laughing earlier about the joke about my pastor being on Epstein's list. Is that his name, Epstein? Is it Epstein? Let me share. I'm saying, is it Epstein? Hold on a second. Epstein's list. Yeah, it is. The Jeffrey Epstein's list. Explain. Damn. Oh, shit. Bill Clinton's on it. All right. Donald Trump's on it. Okay, doesn't matter. But, yeah. Me joking about my pastor being on Epstein's list is more a joke or a reflection of how even if my pastor or any of my relatives were on Epstein's list, it would be just washed off as they just, you know, you could just, it'd be like, yeah, just beg for forgiveness and you'll be okay. We'll walk it off. It would be treated with the seriousness that it deserves to be treated with. Yeah, that's it. Okay, I'm not going to talk more than I need to, but yeah, that's it. That's it for this one. Okay. Trying to empathize with Israel. Okay, yeah. So this past few days, okay, I'm not going to play this whole clip. I'm just going to play the introduction because she said it right. This content creator's Stitch incoming, right? And I'm just going to play the introduction just to give you some context. Here we go.
What do you assume about us, Israeli Jewish Zionists?
I'm going to approach this video with the care and empathy that I think everyone deserves, including people who are coming from the bubble of whiteness.
Okay. She's talking about this content creator. Her name is Basking in Knowledge. Astria? Anyways. And I guess she's commenting on a previous video where this white lady, who I'm assuming is Israeli / Jewish, or is Jewish, and there's a lot of white Jewish folks who are upset at the fact that they're not getting support from black folks. Like, they don't get it. How come black people and indigenous, how come you folks aren't on our side? How do you not see our pain? And what Basket of Knowledge is talking about is, I'm going to meet her where she wants to be meet. And that's what I've been trying to do. Meet people like that where they're trying to be meet. This is my attempt of seek first to understand, then be understood. This is my attempt to understand you so you can hopefully understand where I'm coming from. And honestly, this shit is starting to feel like impossible. Not necessarily the empathize. I mean, the empathy. See, here's the thing. I can empathize with anyone. I grew up empathizing with mean people, assholes, shitty people. It's just my skill. Ignoring my own feelings and just seeing their world. But I gotta be honest. This Israeli conflict, like their position, in this situation, it's really difficult to look at it and look at it in a way where it's difficult to not look at the situation and not take side. That's what I'm trying to say. If my mom and dad were in the middle of a conflict, I could say, okay, mom is pissed because of A, dad is pissed because of B. In this particular situation, especially the position that, like on the Israeli side, the Zionists, is that the word I want to use? The Zionist folks, they've taken, it's really, they really made this conflict to, yo, there ain't no in-between. You're either with us or you're against us. We're the good guys. They're the bad guys. End of story. That's the word I'm looking for. No nuance. No gray area. No. It's been difficult to be able to be able to, it's been difficult to be like, you know, okay, I get it. Honestly, I can, if I look at it from, so far, based on my research, Israel's point of view, there is no path to peace. There is no path to compromise. There is no path to, okay, let's figure things out. It's just straight up, nah, man, the other side's got to go. Now, I know I'm sounding like, I don't know, I'm not trying to sound like I'm saying it's all their fault. I'm saying, yeah, it is it's a complicated conflict. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a complicated conflict that the only way that if I was on the Israelis, the Zionist side, I'd be one of the, yeah, kill them all. And anyways, what I like about this content creator's explanation is basically the closest I've come to like being able to see some kind of solution, not solution, but the way she explained it is that, yo, these Zionist folks are stuck in a bubble. The same kind of bubble white people are stuck in. The same kind of bubble a slave owner was stuck in. The slave owner who was like, wow, I don't believe these blacks are rebelling. I thought we were good to them. Like that kind of bubble. Like, yeah, sure. Sure, your family was massacred during the insurrection. During the uprising, the slave uprising. Yeah, sure. You lost your farm, your economy. Yes, that's fucked up. But you weren't enslaving people. Like, they can't see outside that bubble. They can't see outside of if we were in their shoes, we'd be doing the same thing. We'd be doing the same thing as them. And here's the thing. They don't have to. That's the thing about, I feel like Slim Charles right now. That's the thing about war. That's the thing about conflict. One side has their interest. The other side has the interest. The other side has their interest. And the only way they can perceive their interest is keeping their eyes on their prize, on the prize, which is their interest. Yeah. All this to say that I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave this in the show notes. Let you listen to her yourself. I titled it, Try to Empathize with Israel. And what she says was insightful. And it's essentially how, yeah, you're not going to be able to find a common ground. There's not going to be a common ground as long as the other side is unable to understand how, if they were, yeah, to see the other side. That's really what this is a long-ass setup just to say that we're not going to understand the other side until you look at what the other side is talking about. All right. Now I remember why I don't drink during a podcast, because all of a sudden my brain doesn't, I ramble a lot. Okay. All right. What else do I have? Okay. I'm going to leave this. I'm not going to play this clip, and it's called, it's a video about content creators. Go at all you clowns trying to force yourself into everything we post here. And this content creator, her name is, here, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to play it just to get her name.
I want to talk to you guys about something I've decided to call the What About Me effect. The What About Me effect basically combines individualistic culture with being chronically online. And it is rampant on TikTok.
Okay, we're not going to play the whole thing. It's 2 minutes, 43 seconds. You can check it out. And the title is, not the title. I'm trying to get the Bria Celeste. Is that her name? The content creator's name? God damn. I wish I could post this video up on Billboard and Times Square as the perfect explanation to What About Me effect. Okay. Now, the only reason I'm sharing this clip is focus your thoughts, B. Okay. What about ism? No, okay, I'm gonna change the title. So the What About effect. The only reason I bring this up, and I'm telling you to listen to it, is because she had me thinking about the fact that I tend to focus a lot of attention on people. When I'm thinking of my audience, I have this habit of focusing my attention on the people who want you to make your personal story about them, or who want to feel included in your, like, fuck your personal experience, make it about me. An example I can think about is, I remember trying to explain racism to a white guy, and he turned it into, yeah, it reminds me of the time I was bullied. But basically, he didn't get it. He didn't fucking get it. But the thing is, how much time I wasted in trying to, he had no intention to empathize. I guess what I'm trying to say is, speaking to people who don't have the ability to empathize, to hear someone else's words and allow the other person to say what they need or trying to say. And yeah, so this What About effect, this theory, like this explanation is was insightful. And it just reminded me of who I needed to stop wasting my time trying to explain. Like, if I meet another person who's like, what about me? Who after I tell my story is like, hey, well now, how do I fit in all this shit? Well, that's not the fucking point. You don't. And it's okay. It's okay. Some experiences you'll never understand. And you're just going to have to take the other person's word for it. That's the lesson learned from that video. Okay, two more items to go before we end news and random thoughts. This one, I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm just going to play the introduction. But what this brother has to say about, his name is Demetrius Fields. And what he has to say about self-improvement for men. Here we go.
It's so hard to find self-help videos as a man without ending up in a pipeline. You get dumped and you're like, how do I make this hurt less? So you look it up online and some buff bald dude who sells courses is just like, do push-ups, make your bed, eat peanut butter till you feel better. And it kind of works a little bit.
It reminds me of, I love the description. It reminds me of when there was a time where I wanted to take my fitness more seriously. So I had her at the gym trainer. And the only criteria that I used for this gym trainer was the fact that he was buff. Yeah. Coincidentally, he had a bald head and he had a hot girlfriend. Because in my mind, that was self-improvement. Or that was the result of self-improvement is you'll be big, you'll have money, and you'll get bitches. What I'm getting at is what I like about the links is in the show notes. You can check out the content creator, Demetrius Fields. He makes a strong point, but I'm just reacting off what he's saying. Like, I'm trying to compliment what he's saying. It reminded me when anytime I don't trust men who sell self-help guides. Because usually men are just, when they say self-improvement, it just means gym. Basically, how to be a better man as opposed to how to be your better self. You know what I mean? If you're a man that you need to have X money amount of in your account, you need to have this many baby mothers, these foreign cars, these kind of clothes, this kind of weight. You know what I mean? Like you, it's just ways to upgrade you as a quote unquote, or the as a man, as to upgrade you as a man, how to be a better man, as opposed to how to be your better self. I'm not speaking against gym and things like that, going to the gym and all that shit. No, I'm not. But If you ain't got that self-love, if you ain't got that self-acceptance, if you don't have that part of you that's like, okay, this is who I am. Like, I spent a significant portion of my time wishing I was someone else. That's something I need to fix. That's something I need to. Because myself, there's no books. I've yet to meet a book, podcast, celebrity, or anything where someone had one of my traits and they used it as a strength. Okay, you know what? Actually, correction. Sensitivity. Tupac was a sensitive person. And he was able to use it as the strength. I guess I could say that. I agree with that part. But I grew up with, oh, you're sensitive? Nah, you got to need to, yo, get a tough skin, man. You need to get rid of that shit, flush that shit, and be a better man. Man up. Yeah, every self-improvement guide, I'll sum it up. It just comes down to them telling you, man up. That's probably why I tend to trust female self-help gurus more than males. Now, not to say that there aren't any, like, women out there selling stink oils. That's not what I'm trying to get at. But they seem to understand that when they say self-improvement, they don't mean improve your gender. They mean improve your actual self, your holistic self. Ho, I use the word ho. Holistic self. But yeah, okay, that's it. That's it for that one. Okay, last but not least, this one is more of a joke. It's more meant for humor. And the caption goes, I'm not sure if this is real, but it goes, Florida bus driver fired for making white passengers sit at the back of the bus. Really? Really? Back of the bus? Really? Come on, man. Sensitivity training at most. But fired? Come on, man. Anyway, that shit made me laugh, man. Yeah, I'm going to see if I get his details, because we need to, like, holler at this dude during Black History Month. Yeah. Okay. And, that's it for Using Random Thought. What's the time? All right, okay, let's try to wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. And hold on a second. Make sure that I didn't miss anything. Ooh, I'm a little hot. I wonder if that's the alcohol. Yeah, no, that's it. Okay, let's jump to final thoughts, and then and then we get the call of the day. All right? Okay, let's go. All right. Okay. I'm just going to play this for some context, and I call this my favorite scene in The Wire. Hold on a second.
Bubs, wailing man.
Hold on a second. Okay, I'm going to try to get to the part where... Okay, this is, my favorite scene in The Wire, and here it goes.
Celebrating my anniversary.
That always makes me smile.
Well, my people couldn't make it here tonight. I left a trail of fire behind me. Time gonna make it right with them, I guess.
That's right, it will.
The same thing get me right with myself. A couple days ago, I took a walk down in Druid Hill Park, right when the sun was going down. You know how time be like, sun throwing shadows and all. Got me thinking about when I was a young man sitting in that park. You know, watching the girls, smoking on a little herb, drinking a cold beer. I don't know where this is going. At this moment where, you know, I was wanting to feel that way again. I remember what y'all said, if there is what's to come, call a group member up and talk. First thing, I called Whalen up, him being my sponsor and all. Turns out he's on a ride with his motorcycle club. So I pulled out that sheet that got passed out. Dialed a few numbers, couldn't get an answer. Left a couple of messages, but nobody called me back.
You didn't call me, because I would have got up with you, Retino. You can believe that.
Well, anyway, I didn't get high.
I didn't get high.
See, I knew if I did, I wouldn't get that good feeling back that I was daydreaming.
That's right, that's right.
Got me thinking about a friend of mine. Boy named Sherrod. Been carrying his passing for a long while. Like that memory I had about those summer days in the park. But thinking on that make me smile. But Sherrod is more of a hurt. But not so bad like it was. Ain't no shame in holding on to grief. As long as you make room for other things too.
Ain't no shame in holding on to grief. As long as you make room for other things too. Man, okay. What I'm sharing it for what he says. I didn't get high. And I think that's a big deal. That the most important line in there was when he says, I didn't get high. Which finally brings me to what's up with today's title. Today's title came from, I'm surprised that I didn't link it in my show notes. Okay, today's title, oh my God, B, came from the intro to Biggie Smalls' track, Juicy. And he starts off by saying, simple, he just says, yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers who told me I'd never amount to nothing. I share this because I ended the year. Okay, I share this because I was thinking about it these past few days. One is because the thing about those teachers is I actually believed them. They had me convinced that I wasn't going to amount to anything. I mean, maybe I would hide it, but deep down in the back of my mind, there was a voice that kept telling me, you ain't shit. It's not just the teachers. It's just like every negative voice, every toxic person that I encountered growing up and who said that, yeah, you're not going to be better than me, or life didn't work out for me, so it's not going to work out for you. But it's not the fact that they said it. It's more the fact that I believed them. And the thing is, I ended 2023. I could probably say, I could actually say that I ended 2023 feeling, considering the possibility that there's something wrong with that belief. One of the things that I did, it's funny, I need to celebrate myself for this one, is I finally sent that email to the 3GO podcast. If you've been listening to the past episode, I've been talking a lot about how I'm trying to write it and how I struggle to write emails to some of my favorite podcasters. It's a challenge. It's a fucking challenge. Maybe it's ADHD, whatever, but it's a challenge for me to focus, get my thoughts in order, and put it on paper. And part of what made me doubt that notion that I'd never amount to nothing, or the naysayers, part of what made me feel like Anton Fisher saying, I'm still here. You try to destroy me, but I'm still here. Oh, spoiler alert, by the way. If you haven't seen Anton Fisher, then oops, I don't know what to tell you. Part of what made me feel like that was finally sending that email before the year ended. I had a night of debauchery had set up, all ready to go, right? And I'm actually impressed that when I say debauchery, like I was planning on getting fucked up for 2023. But there was a part of me that managed to, I'm still surprised. I managed to tell myself, nah, I am not ending the year until I send that fucking email. Doesn't matter whether they read it or not. That's not the important part. What's important is I did something I didn't think I was able to do. Which is deny myself. Like I said, I had a night, I must have sent it on a Friday. Yeah, it was on Friday. Yes, Christmas Eve, not Friday, Christmas Eve, but the 23rd is a Saturday, so 22nd. I sent it on the 22nd. At a night of the crazy debauchery setup. And I was surprised. Like, I feel like Bubbles. Like, I managed to say, I'm not going to get high. I mean, I'm going to get high. But first, I'm going to prioritize this fucking letter. This thing that I'd been telling myself that I was going to do. And I actually did it. Now, this is not meant to be... I mean, nah, fuck you. Yeah, this is my goddamn podcast. Yeah, I'm celebrating myself. I'm actually impressed. So much that I've decided to incorporate, dedicated to all the teachers who told me I never amount to nothing, as a catchphrase. Like, use it the same way I would use, it's my new motto, and I'm going to use it the same way I would use winning. So if you ever hear me say dedicated, I mean, it's a long-ass title. It's a long-ass title. I think part of it was me being defined and being like, fuck it. I'm going to start the year off with a long-ass title. And see if any of my favorite podcatcher deletes it, truncates it. But yeah, but I think I'm going to dedicate 2024 to all the teachers who told me I never amount to nothing. It's my year of defiance. Because, again, it's not that I'm mad at them for saying that. It's more that that voice is still in the back of my head, in my back of my mind. And that motherfucker is a pain in the ass that's just like every day wondering, hey, what, you want to fight today? It's always trying to pick a fight with me. So, yeah. And also, yeah, it reminds me of, yeah, last therapy session, how I remember. You got to fight that motherfucker. You can't, you got to fight that motherfucker. And if you find yourself not being able to fight it, that's when you start, that's your cue to, I need some help. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's a therapist, whatever. But when you find yourself, when that voice is kicking your ass, telling you you ain't shit, and you find yourself saying, you know what, you're right. That's the time to get some help or to look into it. And well, damn, I'm really not trying to preach to you. But here we are. Here we are. Finally. All right. Okay. What are we? 1 hour, 22 minutes. Oh, not bad. Okay. I thought I was going to go over my 1 hour, 30 minutes, but no, that's it. Boys and girls, this concludes today's episode on January 7th, 2024, 11:05 PM in 55 minutes. I'll be celebrating. I'll be forced to tell people that I'm 49. Not looking forward to it, but here we are. Here we are. All right. Okay. Hey, as always, thank you for listening. If you want to holler at me if you want to holler at me, you can find me on these Twitter streets using the handle @BBlizzak or @ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, @B.Black. On Instagram, Threads. No one's on Threads. Eh? Is anyone using Threads? I'm not. I mean, I like a few shit on it, but that's it. But on Threads, it's @ShutUpPodcast. But if you really want to find me, if you really want to get in touch with me on the internet, my stomping ground is, my version of Brooklyn, is ShutUpPodcast.com. What's that? ShutUpPodcast.com. One more time, because three times a charm. ShutUpPodcast.com. Email address is ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on this website. That's on the website, ShutUpPodcast.com. Or go to anywhere else you can find a podcast, except Spotify. Actually, you know what? If I'm not on your favorite platform, let me know. Please send me a note. Let me know. And then it's something to fix in 2024. Wow. Whew. Wow. C'est pas facile ici. All right, les amis. Oh, my God. That's another thing I meant to say when I was talking about whataboutism. What about the what about me effect? I tend to flip French and English when I'm speaking to people, and that's my way of saying, of trying to, I'm not trying to get rid of people, it's more, that's who I am, this is me just being authentic, and I guess I'm counting on you to either ask for the translation, or translate it yourself, or be able to speak French. I don't speak the whole French the whole time, but if I'm speaking, If you hear me speak a language, switch to French. I'm not trying to. Well, I guess I'm. I was gonna say I'm not trying to alienate. I'm not trying to get rid of you. I'm just saying it's supposed to be something interesting meant to trigger your curiosity. But if it's annoying to you, I will understand. But this may not be the podcast for you. All right? Okay. With all that said, thank you for listening. And as always, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? Peace. Oh, and Happy New Year!